I would like to begin by sharing a story with you that you guys will be reading in Arise this week. It's a story about Lawrence, Massachusetts, which is the poorest city in that state, and one of the poorest cities in the United States. It used to be an industrial center of about 76,000 people, a history of immigration that goes all the way back to the 19th century. Does this sound familiar to many of you? Well, many of the people of St. Patrick's Parish were skeptical about all this. They didn't see all this poverty, all this hunger that was apparently in their city. One of the parishioners actually said, "I don't know anybody that's hungry." But Father O'Brien, their Harvard-educated pastor, saw things differently. And he and a group of volunteers wanted to do something about that. So they created this organization. We can try to raise money to find for the center that was going to feed these people who are very poor. And they raised $1.4 million. And they founded and they built the One Heart Meal Center for anybody that wanted to come to have meals right across the street from the church. And partially this situation is funded by a project called labelsareforjars.com. And they sell these black t-shirts. On the back of them is the logo. On the front of it are all these negative terms that oftentimes we use about people, like slacker, a troubled teen, minority, drug addict. Anyway, just a whole bunch of terms like all that. They would put these t-shirts into these jars. They'd sell them that way. The idea was that they would fill the jars with money and bring them back for the project. And the whole idea of the negative terms that are on the front of all the t-shirts, different terms on different t-shirts, was to make people aware of how we use these terms and making people feel like outcasts and feel like they aren't welcomed. And Father O'Brien said in the article, which you're going to read, "I'm not going to be part of saying that someone who needs food isn't going to get food because that person has problems." Our gospel today of these nine Jewish lepers and the one Samaritan leper have inspired many, many different homilies about gratitude and saying thanks. And indeed, we need to do that a lot, to say thanks to people. But I think there's a much more challenging issue here right in the beginning of the gospel today. And it's about these ostracized, these marginalized lepers. Lepers lived in dire, absolute poverty. They lived in garbage dumps. They were segregated from everybody else in the city. If anybody got close to a leper, they were supposed to yell out, "Unclean, unclean." They would wear a bell around their neck. So if people saw them coming, they would somehow run away from all these lepers. They were the ostracized. They were the marginalized of their world. And here comes Jesus. He's entering in this town, and all of a sudden, there are these lepers. Probably they're rummaging in the garbage, somehow begging from a distance. They look up and they notice Jesus, and they say something like, "Master, have pity on us." And Jesus actually acknowledges them. Most folks would never, ever, ever even acknowledge these pariah, these dreaded lepers. And he tells them to go off to see the priests, because the priests were the only ones who could welcome them back into the community again. They didn't want to go welcome them back into ordinary society again. And so while they're on their way to all this, remarkably, they are cured. And they're ecstatic. Folks, you and I can't begin to believe how ecstatic they would be that they were cured of their leprosy, not because bodily they were cured. That was part of it, but not primary. The reason why they would be ecstatic is they're welcomed back to the community again. Their isolation, their being ostracized, their being marginalized, them being the outcast, those days are over for them. And they'd be ecstatic about that. And that's a point Jesus makes in the scriptures over and over and over again. He chooses a shunned, outcast tax collector to be part of his 12 apostles. He's always hanging around with the outcasts, with the marginalized, with the sinners. He allows an outcast woman to somehow anoint his feet, and on it goes. So this week I asked a bunch of folks, I said, who would be the outcasts of our world today? In other words, who would never walk through those doors back there to come into this place because they would think you and I certainly would not welcome them? You may say to me, well, yeah, we would. And I believe you that you would. But they don't think that. They don't think you would welcome them back. And here's a kind of a short list. And a couple of people last night gave me a couple others, and you're welcome to do the same. But the LGBT community, divorced and remarried outside the church, people struggling with addiction, non-Catholics, people with criminal backgrounds, the homeless, the mentally ill, unwed single moms. That's kind of a short list. And can I tell you something, folks? They're already among us. They're already here. Those folks are living with all of us here. And all this brings me to a really, really important question that I want to ask all of you. Can we all agree that we can blame Jesus for making us ask really hard, uncomfortable questions? Do you let Jesus allow you to ask uncomfortable, hard questions about life? Or do you just sort of ignore all those things? And I want to put it in two kind of different ways. This is the questions I want you to talk about in your Rise this week. However you participate in your small groups, or however you're participating in Rise, I want you to have the courage to ask these two questions, if you could. Number one, how do we treat those we consider outsiders or outcasts? And number two, a little tougher, how do we bring together God's mercy and God's justice, not losing sight of either one of them? How do we bring together God's mercy and God's justice, not losing sight of either one of them? The scripture passage that's used in Arise this week is Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 22. And it's all about Jesus' mission statement, what he believes he is all about. And he goes on to say, I have come to bring bring good news to the poor, proclaim release captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free. Here's a bunch of images that offer liberation and salvation to absolutely everybody. And the text goes on to say this. We see Jesus reaching out in compassion to those who are in the margins, to lepers, to women, to the foreigners. What are the implications of that same mission for us here today? Where are the blind spots in our society, in our culture, in our church? What are the forms of oppression, subtle and blatant, in our structures? And I don't want you to come up with some black and white answer to all that. I think those are very difficult questions. I want you to wrestle with them. I want you to have the courage to wrestle with those kinds of questions. And so what I'd like to do in about a minute or two is offer you some other thoughts here kind of quickly and to help you with your wrestling match with those kinds of questions. And then I'm going to go back and sit down. You know, one of the things that we oftentimes do in regards to all this, sometimes we are too permissive, other times we're too judgmental about the big questions of life. And Pope Francis one time said about priests, he said, neither of those things ever offer the mercy of God. Being too permissive, being too judgmental, neither of them offer the mercy of God. And he's talking about confession. And he goes on to say to priests, he says, the confessor is always in danger of being too lax or too rigid. Neither is merciful, because neither takes responsibility for the person. It's the person that matters. Neither of those two things take responsibility for the person. Neither offers the healing touch of Jesus Christ. One other author puts it this way. like Jesus, who told the woman in adultery to sin no more. We don't soft pedal or deny wrongdoing, but once the evil is fully acknowledged, we have to respond to the unspoken cry, Jesus, Master, have pity on me, and minister to the outcast, and to accept them as those for whom Christ died. We believers have to bring these outsiders inside, at least inside faith communities, where they will be offer them help, prayer, and support. And finally, this from Oscar Wilde, and he has some really remarkable statements, but here's one for you. As one looks through the pages of history, one is positively sickened. One is positively sickened, not by the crimes of the wicked, but by the punishments of the just. There's one to wrestle with for a little while. You know, the gospel is all about this week gratitude. And you and I need to be all about that ourselves. But it's also asking you and I to wrestle with this issue, this teaching about outcasts. And we need to do that. And to the degree that we dismiss this teaching about the outcasts of our worlds, we ourselves separate ourselves from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then if we do, you and I maybe need to be the ones who cry out, Jesus, Master, have pity on me.